You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Hour 3, Anita Marks with you here on 98.7 ESPN. That music only means one thing. Cynthia Freeland. That's what it means. Cynthia, hi.
Hello. How are you?
Hello, my friend. Put the lotion in the basket. AB to the Bucks. Boo.
Yeah. I feel like he should be relegated to, like, stink.
Yeah.
You know, like, send him to the Jets. See what happens. Send him to a team that needs a wide receiver, not one that's already about to potentially make a serious postseason run.
It's pretty remarkable. You were so kind to email me your playoff probabilities for the NFC and AFC teams. Why don't we kick it off right there? So in the NFC. The Seattle Seahawks, 93.6% probability. I find it interesting. I had Bill Barnwell on earlier, and I asked him this question. Do you think this signing, because we were hearing a lot of chatter about AB going to Seattle, that's where I thought he would land. So do you see this signing as more of a keeping him away from Seattle, especially since you have them with a probability of 93.6%, as opposed to really needing him in that wide receiving core for the Bucs?
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely an interesting theory. I think more than anything else, it's Tom Brady getting whatever he wants, right? Like, we've seen Tom Brady take AB under his wing, and, you know, they live together. You know, we hear rumors of things like this, right? But it seems to be pretty substantiated. So for me, this is more about, like, give the man what he wants. Give Tom Brady all of the weapons that he is asking for. And, like, let's see what happens. So that's more what my first takeaway. And I'm sure keeping it away from Russell Wilson is definitely a nice added benefit. But I would guess that they're probably more focused on, like, let's keep Tom happy. Does Tom want to be happy? Let's keep Tom happy.
Pretty much. This is Giselle. Do we want to play the song that I opened up the show with today for Cynthia? Do you have that queued up? All right, here we go. How appropriate is it?
Whatever Lola wants.
Whatever Tommy wants.
Lola gets.
Tommy gets.
And little man, little Lola wants you.
Feel free to use that on your NFL Network show tomorrow, please.
I love it. I will. I'll tell him right now.
All right. So let's continue with your probabilities here in the NFC. So your top are Seattle, Green Bay, the Saints, the Bucks, Chicago, the Rams, Arizona. And those are your seven, because there are seven now this season that will make it in. I find it very interesting, like, and I know I text you about this earlier, but, like, I find it fascinating that the Eagles could get in. If the Eagles win out their division and they would just win those six games, they could get in to the postseason. That NFC East is just remarkable to me.
There are teams, and there are two teams in the NFC East that technically, in my estimations and all of the ways that I do calculations, could either win the division and enter the postseason, or if the Jets could win two games, then they would have the first pick. The same team. Two of the same team could do that. That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Out of all your NFC probability to make it to the postseason, which is the one that has surprised you the most this season? Is it the Bears?
The Bears are interesting because we all thought Minnesota was going to be a lot better than it is. I mean, Minnesota's worse than Detroit right now, technically, which is hilarious to me as a Detroit fan. But ahead of the season, you know, many people had the Vikings winning the division, or at least a very close second to the Packers. So while the Bears are a positive surprise, part of that is probably because the Vikings are such a negative surprise.
And I find it interesting here as well. You've got the Dallas Cowboys with the probability winning the division at 44%, with the Eagles at 43.1%. I'm not sold on Andy Dalton. I'm really not. And I think this Philadelphia Eagles team, the way that Carson Wentz has been playing, they're only going to continue to get healthier as the season progresses. So my money is on the Eagles to win the division, but obviously yours is not.
I mean, it's what, 0.9% different? Like, it's not even 1% different. So, you know, sure, technically right now the Cowboys have it, and part of that has a lot to do with the fact that they still have Ezekiel Elliott, and they still have their wide receivers, and they still have the opportunity. Andy Dalton looked bad in that game. That was a horrible game. That was a horrible route of a loss. However, Andy Dalton's been under pressure for his entire career. You know, he has taken a team to the postseason before many times in the Cincinnati Bengals with a crappy O-line, and he's facing a crappy O-line this season now as well. And realistically, Zeke will not turn the ball over twice again in the first quarter. So very hard to estimate that would happen again. So, you know, their defense is actually far more of a concern for me than their offense. And the Eagles' defense, that defensive front is one of the best in the entire NFL. So I'm with you on that, like, from the logistics standpoint. Unfortunately, Carson Wentz and those turnovers, he really needs to clean that up even more consistently.
All right, taking a look at and Cynthia Freeland joining us here from the NFL Network. Let's take a look at the AFC. You're 7 right now. Kansas City, the Ravens, the Steelers, the Bills, the Titans, the Patriots, and Cleveland are your top 7. I do like the Raiders here at 41.7% probability to make it to the postseason. Listen, prior to this COVID hitting their offensive line, I liked the Raiders to upset the Tampa Bay Bucks this week. Did you?
I was with you. Yeah, I was with you on that one. I mean, they play a high-risk, high-reward offense. If you look to see Derek Carr, he has the best deep passer rating in the NFL, which is kind of surprising considering obviously we would like their O-line to be playing, you know, in full health no matter what, but they're not a great O-line to begin with. So Derek Carr being able to complete those deep passes, especially when you've got speedy Henry Ruggs back there, you know, and back healthy in the lineup, that is a huge game changer for the Raiders. And that's how they beat the Kansas City Chiefs, right? It was all those deep passes. So being able to complete the deep pass is huge this year. And I do want to point out the AFC overall is just way stronger than the NFC, right? Like, you can see there are realistic probabilities to go to the playoffs for all but something like 5 teams, right? 4 teams. And in the NFC, it's kind of, there's, you know, which spot are they vying for, and maybe who's number 7 to get in. Whereas in the AFC, realistically, the Dolphins could sneak up in there, and the Raiders could easily, and the Browns could fall. It is still up for grabs completely in the AFC, as opposed to the NFC, where it's kind of like, meh, okay, we're just sorting out kind of which slot anyone will be in.
You know, you mentioned the Miami Dolphins and their decision to make the move. It's Tua time now with the Miami Dolphins. They're off for 2 weeks because of the bye. And then his first game, wow, against the Rams and Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. Not sure if that would have been
the greatest.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I had Armando Salguero on my digital show this week, who's covered the Miami Dolphins for ever and a day. And he said, you know, at practice, the practice that the media is able to watch, he said, you know, he watches Tua and it's like, okay. He said he's never seen Tua do anything, throw anything that has like taken him by storm to go, whoa, wow, that looked great. Granted, a number of the Miami Dolphins players have been telling him that Tua has gotten better throughout the week. And you want to assume that this is why they're making this decision, especially, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick has just won 2 games for them and 2 impressive games. But what are you hearing at the NFL Network? What are your realistic expectations for the Dolphins now that they're going to Tua?
So I looked into it, and if you look over the past 10 seasons, I'm going to call this a positive benching, right? So it typically occurs, you know, either on the bye week or right near the bye week. It's typically like, you know, a positive benching to me is where the quarterback that is Ryan Fitzpatrick did not think he's a franchise quarterback going in there. He knew what was up before the season started, right? So he's still playing well. And they're choosing to switch to Tua when Ryan Fitzpatrick is still playing well, as opposed to a negative benching where he starts to play, you know, the quarterback starts to play poorly and then they switch to the new guy and there's a lot more pressure and it feels more dire and things feel like very off the rails. So to me, strategically speaking, obviously we don't know anything about Tua's health. You know, he did have a pretty significant injury, so we have to assume everything is up to par in terms of health. So as long as that health is good, it's really the coach is putting him in there and it's nothing but upside at this point, right? So the opportunity there, like coming off of great positive momentum with some key wins, and then you have this opportunity now to grow and for the long-term development, if you look to see what happened with positive benching over two seasons, those teams win a lot more games. And typically, if you're switching quarterbacks, you are not a great team. So if you're not a great team and then you're getting a lot more wins, a positive benching can be a good thing.
Again, Cynthia Freeland joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Cynthia, before I know we always like to kind of end our segment talking fantasy with you, but before we do, got to talk about the Bills and the Jets. This line opened up at 13.5 and then fell down to like 12.5 last night. And now we're hearing more and more the likeliness that Sam Darnold is going to start for the Jets. This line now is down to 10.5. I still think there's going to be a butt whipping tomorrow. Curious your thoughts, how you think this Jets Bills game is going to play out.
I really want Jamison Crowder to be okay. He was questionable on Friday. That scares me because Jamison Crowder is the bright spot in this offense. Like, I have been more impressed with Crowder, and he's not paid enough, in my opinion. And this is a person who, if you don't understand the importance of a slot receiver in the NFL, in this modern NFL, especially in this season, just watch him. He is really the fact that they're getting any first downs typically come through either Crowder when he's targeted or Crowder commanding some attention of defenders and someone else getting the ball. So I really want Crowder to be 100%. I would feel a lot stronger about the situation. I really need Mekhi Becton to be playing because he's a great left tackle. He's had a great start to the season. Really, a lot of positive things out of that kid. And it's a lot easier not to get crushed if you've got Mekhi Becton standing in front of you as opposed to anyone else. So those things scare me. Assuming all three of them play, I actually think this is a spot where they get a little bit better. I don't necessarily, you know, I think maybe 14 points is probably about right, two scores, but it's a lot closer and it looks a lot better. They've got to figure out the running back position, and the Bills are allowing the eighth most rushing yards per game, 131.3. That's an area. Bills are already also third worst on third down on defense. Of course, they've played really good teams over the past 2 weeks, so that does change the numbers a bit, but this is an opportunity to kind of get those first downs off third where the Jets have really struggled. So in this game, they got to figure some things out. If they've got their receivers back, it's going to look a lot different than if they don't.
All right. As always, we end our segment talking fantasy, and you give us some of your deep sleepers. So let's start, as always, with the quarterback position. Who you got?
Okay, so I don't know if it's super deep, but you have to put Justin Herbert in now. I mean, this kid's throwing for like a billion yards a game, and it's going to be a great opportunity to stack him with my favorite tight end this week, which is Hunter Henry. So if you're playing in daily formats, I love that stack together. That one's a good one. Also, someone who's super underpriced right now, if you're playing DFS, you can get Patrick Mahomes for less than Josh Allen, which is interesting to me. So I know it could be snowy in Denver, so people could be scared off of him, but, you know, that's an interesting one. Now, if you're playing in regular formats, I would say stick with the Justin Herbert call there.
I love Justin Herbert this week, for sure. At the running back position.
Okay, so I liked my guy DeAndre Swift. I'm going to go back to that well again in this one. But also, it was kind of interesting to see what's going on in Arizona. So now everyone's going to think it's totally Kenyon Drake. It's all Drake. But you got to look at all the other options there, because I don't necessarily think that that's going to be the case going forward. So I would go pick up Chase Edmonds and play him, because things go poorly, they're going to switch right off of him. And he hasn't been good on first and second down in competitive downs, like not when they're blowing the Cowboys out. But if you look to see what happened that first half, he had like 2.7 yards per rush.
But here's the thing. So each and every week, I think the same thing. Like, oh, this is the week. I'm going to put Chase Edmonds as my flex. This is the week. This is the and then it doesn't happen. And then Kenyon Drake goes off.
Well, so here's why. The Seahawks defense is actually a lot better against the run than they are against the pass. They're missing Jamal Adams in that middle of the field. Yes, Bobby Wagner's still there, but those short passes to kind of be an outlet to keep Kyler Murray out of trouble. That's more the change of pace situation stuff. That's the Chase Edmonds stuff. So to me, this is the week that I think it finally happens.
Okay. Wide receiver.
Oh, by the way, and if you need another one, go get Jamichael Hasty, because I like him in this matchup for the 49ers, too. So that's my second one if you needed a second one. Wide receiver?
We'll take as many as you have, Cynthia. We'll take as many as you have.
I'll give you all of them.
I like wide receiver.
I like my Christian Kirk call in this one, especially if there's no DeAndre Hopkins. That's going to be a really popular one. But I think there's going to be a bunch of like old guy touchdowns this week. So I got an Amendola touchdown. I've got an Edelman touchdown. And I've got a Larry Fitzgerald touchdown. All three of them have not had touchdowns yet this season. They combined for 177 in terms of total pass touchdown receptions that they've been a part of in their joint careers. But, you know, old guy touchdowns happening this week.
That should be hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
Old guy touchdowns.
34 and 37, ancient people.
Also, Smith from the Saints. I woke up this morning. I usually wake up at like around 6 a.m. Hang in bed, you know, with the pups, watch a little Sports Center and start prepping for my show before I go take my spin class. And I went on to just, you know, browse my fantasy football market, and Smith was available in six of my nine leagues. No Michael Thomas, no Emmanuel Sanders. And Smith is there. He's available.
Yeah, Traquan Smith's a good pick. I think that's a really nice one. And also, if you aren't starting T. Higgins, you got to go. If T. Higgins is somehow available against the Browns, you got to go pick him up, because this guy's getting all of the targets, and Joe Burrow's played really well. I think this is going to be a much closer game than most people think. So I think T. Higgins is another one where if you're worried about maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, you should.
And last but not least, we know you like Hunter Henry. Is there another tight end you like this week?
Well, if somehow T.J. Hockenson's around in your league, then go pick him up. I think that's an interesting situation for Detroit. I think, look, Detroit, I hate when my model picks my team, because I just have no faith in them, because I've grown up a Lions fan, so that's pretty much all I've ever known. But the model loves T.J. Hockenson this week.
Fantastic. Great stuff as always, Cynthia. Really, we're blessed that you join us each and every Saturday afternoon. I appreciate you, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you so much. You too. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.